NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting live from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Hour number two, NFL Sunday, from our Best Yet broadcast booth right across the street from Gillette Stadium. It's Rich Keefe and Christian Fourier taking you up until 8 o'clock, getting set for Sunday Night Football. The Patriots taking on the Packers. It's Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you've heard that yet so far. But last Monday night, Fourier, you were on leading into Pats and Bills, and the big story was Josh Gordon. And whether or not he missed a meeting, and if he was going to miss perhaps the entire first quarter, he did not. He played right away.
Very first play, right?
Now, right away, started. First offensive snap, there's Josh Gordon, even though Rappaport from the NFL Network told us that he was going to miss time, and maybe even the whole first quarter. He said he wasn't sure if it was one lateness or multiple times.
So what's your take on it?
I've gone back and forth. I think that maybe Belichick just didn't want that information out. Maybe he was late and was thinking about doing that, but then couldn't believe that information got out. He wanted to keep it in-house. It's easy with all the different formations that they have. You could punish the guy, but we wouldn't know. Like, oh, he wasn't in the first series. Punishment, or did they just go with a different grouping? Like, I don't think anybody would have known, but he thinks that maybe this is the best way to keep Josh Gordon locked in.
Yeah, so I've heard a bunch of different theories, and I heard another one this morning regarding this situation, and it was, you know, similar to what everyone is, you know, theories that other people have brought up, that Bill was just kind of sick of people leaking stuff.
Yeah,
I can see that. I'm just sick of it.
Because he gets so mad. Leaked. I mean, remember even acquiring Josh Gordon. Remember how he wouldn't...
Protective he was.
He was on the field, for God's sakes, and he wouldn't say it wasn't official because...
No paperwork there.
Because the Browns, I think...
With no sources, right?
Yeah, I think because the Browns were saying that, oh, it's all, the deal's done, and I think he was mad that they were saying that.
So do you think? Okay, there's other people than just we just focus on, you know, Bill. Really, that's it.
Yeah.
Or maybe the players, but there's ownership that is involved in stuff like this. You know, could they have leaked something?
Sure.
Could they have said something to Ian Rappaport or somebody
Josh
else?
Josh McDaniels.
And maybe one side is sitting there saying, you know what? I'll show you not to leak information.
Yeah.
He's going to play.
Right. And then now the next time – and this also happened right before the trade deadline too, which I find interesting because maybe they had something in the works and Bill doesn't want anybody knowing about it until he announces it. And then also if you're Ian Rappaport, who said he had multiple sources say this, the next time they tell you something, don't you have to kind of pause and be like, well – he also said Gordon wasn't going to play, and now I got that one wrong. Because whether he was late or not, the report that he was going to miss a quarter is wrong. Like, we know that that didn't happen. You know, maybe he was not going to, but you said that he was expected to miss time. I mean, I guess you kind of cover yourself if you're Rappaport by saying expected. You know, things can always change. And they did. So he was out there the whole time. The other theory I heard, too, was maybe it was an excused absence.
Yeah, well, Steve said that on your show.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He's like, he referenced a story. From
no, it happened to
Dallas.
He remembers the time that when he was on the team, and so you know maybe people around the team were like, "Oh, Gordon's not here," and then that's a story, but they didn't know the real thing that he was taking care of something else. Maybe I don't know. Ryan, let's play. So this was Rappaport. He was on the morning show this week and trying to, you know, he was standing by his report.
So he had two latenesses. That is true. So I found that out, and then you started thinking about, well, what is the team going to do? So what I was told by two sources close to him, I ran it by someone with direct knowledge of the situation. So before I reported it, I had three sources telling me that Josh Gordon had been late and was going to be disciplined in some form or fashion.
Okay.
He was not.
Some form or fashion. Well, I mean, listen, so what does some form or fashion
maybe
mean?
Maybe Stern talking to.
That's a form
that
and
is.
A fashion.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a lot of finger pointing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You better not do it again.
Don't you dare do that again.
So that's possible also.
I'm not go angry out there at you, Josh. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was
I'm not angry at you. Yeah. You know, you let me down.
You let me down.
That hurts
let
more.
The whole team down. Like,
can I just get a spanking?
Did I? Yeah, just go ahead.
I'd rather have that to remind me how much I hurt you. Yeah. Beat me because I disappointed you.
But you're going to start and play a ton. You played
the Josh Gordon thing is one of the weirder things I've seen this team be a part of just because again, he still goes to the podium.
Yeah.
He goes to the podium every post game. It's three questions, no more, no less.
Weird.
Stacey just grabs him out of there, and he doesn't say anything.
No, like, he doesn't.
Why do I want to hear from Josh Gordon?
Why
he's
do
been
you?
Here, yeah, he's been here a hot minute. He's not like breaking anything down.
No,
he doesn't really get it. And yet so you're throwing him out there.
Ryan, I don't know if you have going back to when he was asked after the game on Monday, he was asked about whether he was tardy or not, and he had sort of a really like a Patriot answer. Like,
is there any problem with tardiness?
Well, that's going to be a question I'm going to ask Coach about. But as it relates to the game, I was available, so that's a plus.
See, it's okay, so I'm going to break this down.
Okay, please.
Okay, you're going to have to ask Coach, okay, deflect.
Yeah.
In regards to the game,
yeah,
I was able to play.
I was available.
I was available. So, did you get out of the punishment? Did you get lucky?
Has that ever happened? Has he ever told a guy, hey, listen, I'm upset with whatever you did, missed a practice, you were late for practice, whatever, you're not going to play the first quarter or you're not going to play the first series, and then before the game goes, I was just kidding about that.
You know, you really have to be a malcontent to be benched.
I would say Wes Welker, because of the foot jokes,
which
were hilarious, but he actually returned the first punt of that game. And then he didn't play the first offensive series. Then he went in.
Yeah, because
he was mad about
Edelman
that.
Got hurt. Something happened.
But I think he was only going to miss a series anyway. But regardless of what it was.
Yeah, even though it's just weird the way they handle him, and just he's not. I don't know. Maybe just because he's such a high profile, you know, person based on all the attention that he had with all his issues, that they're just really treating him differently.
They're treating him very differently.
They're protecting the hell out of him, and. I mean, give him credit.
But is that the better way to do it in your eyes? Or would you just say, hey, just throw it in there and, you know, you're going to be just like Philip Dorsett, Cordell Patterson. You talk when they want you to talk. You don't when you don't, and you're another guy? Or should he be treated differently?
It's weird. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, because I get he had some off-the-field issues.
He certainly did.
So, but yet he's talking at his locker. But he's at the podium. There's other people who
like they treat him with kid gloves more than anybody else.
Yeah, and maybe that's you know, listen, we're going to parent you. We are going to hover over you. We're going to be that helicopter parent.
And it's weird because like his issues that he has had, and they're obviously well documented. They've never been with the media. Right?
Not
like,
that I remember.
Like, unless I'm missing something, he's not Ryan Leaf screaming at a guy in the thing. He's not blaming media for stuff. In fact, he seems to get along with them just fine. It's when he's by himself is when he has the problems.
And he's also pretty good at deflecting and, you know, hiding his answers.
Well, that's what I thought was – so when we talked about this during the week, and Dale thought by him non-answering it, it was clear that he was late. And that could be right. I was looking at it as though he was probably told – hey, if it's a football question, you can answer it. If it's anything else, say ask Coach.
See, that's too much.
Okay,
I agree with Dale.
Okay,
because to me,
I'm just going to defend Gordon at any
time.
Yeah,
I know you just okay. Man. I tell you what, nothing to see here. No, seems legit to me.
No, stop. Yeah, he played.
Can't wait till you have kids. Your teacher's going to call you up. Be like, little Johnny did this. My little kid.
I don't think he did.
Never.
He's not capable of that.
He cursed and said, "What? I don't believe it."
No.
No, it's just I believe he was late because
yeah.
If I'm late, if I'm not late, it's really easy to say no.
Yeah. Right. You know.
Well, you know, there's a report that Ian Rappaport said you were late.
I wasn't
late.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you think? I don't know, man. Ask him.
So do you give him points for not being a liar?
See, I actually think they're adding to his issues. They're asking him to be a liar. What they're doing is they're adding to it.
No, he didn't lie,
they're
though.
They're enabling him.
He never lied. He never said he was or he wasn't.
That's true.
He just
said,
ask Coach. That's not a lie. That's fine.
Technically, he's fine.
What's wrong with that? Let's go to Mike in Framingham on Josh Gordon. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
It kind of drives me crazy when I hear people like, Belichick's treating Gordon with kick gloves and stuff. So he'll bench Butler during the Super Bowl, but he's going to treat Gordon with kick gloves? Are you kidding me?
Do you think that he is?
No, he's not. There's no way. If he messed up, Belichick's going to come down on him.
Yeah, that's right.
He came down on Welker, too, for making a stupid foot joke.
Right.
Yeah, but hold on.
No, but you, go ahead.
Do you think being late is like a suspendable offense?
And first of all,
I don't.
We never found out anything about Butler. So where this week?
Oh God, here we go.
I know we gotta move on.
I can't do it.
We gotta maybe move on from that.
I don't want to do it.
No, but I think also thanks for the call, Mike. I think what we're saying here is forget about whether he was or wasn't late. Just for a moment, the idea of these three-question press conferences, that's what I'm talking about with kid gloves. That is different than any other player on the team. Like, the reason why they have Brady has to do it. Like, he's the quarterback. He has to go up there. Gronk, probably because they know the media scrum is going to be so big that it's just easier to go stand up there at the podium, right? Whereas Gordon, I mean, he didn't talk like the first week he was here. Then he went up there, and it was three questions. They were probably handpicked by, you know, they're like, you, that's it. Then we're done. No other player is treated that way on this whole team.
No, and maybe this is the way to get them. Maybe that's how desperate they are for him to be successful. So listen, the only way we can handle this guy is if we do this. We got to give him a very structured day, very structured week. He knows what to expect. We're going to protect him as much as possible. And that's what I mean by treating him, because he's an adult.
He is.
He's not a kid.
No,
it's like,
not.
Can we, like, I mean, what are we doing here? You are paying him too, aren't you?
They're paying him. Not a ton, but they're paying him.
Okay. Well, he's getting a check still.
Now, what did you think of all the reports that the Patriots were interested in wide receivers, including Demaryius Thomas, who's making his debut with the Texans today? I think last check already had a bunch of catches. But when I heard that they were interested in Demaryius Thomas or Golden Tate or Pierre Garçon, I was like, well, are they not convinced with Josh Gordon? Because I can't imagine bringing another receiver. That does not, even though that was a need week 1 through 4, it doesn't feel like a need right now.
So you want, and the thing was top flight receiver.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
It wasn't just, like a Michael Floyd or
right.
whatever.
Or who Malcolm just, Floyd. Yeah, also
his brother. His brother.
No, but he was a player. He was okay.
So it was, no, I didn't believe it.
Okay.
I didn't believe it because
it obviously didn't happen.
You know, it just, there's so many, like, you know, fake news stories that come out, or, you know, agents trying to, you know, move the needle for their player, and they include the Patriots in it. Or maybe the Patriots put it out there. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But it just didn't make any sense unless it was a guy that you were going to be able to keep for, like, another 2 years.
Yeah,
but
right.
Trading for a guy, a top-flight wide receiver, mid-season, after everyone talking about how difficult it is, and, like, you're going to try and figure out, like,
now,
during the bye week?
Yeah, that would have been very, very odd. So I'm glad they didn't do that. They also didn't do anything. We can get into that as the show goes on as well. Tommy Kern will join us just after 7. Coming up next, former Patriot defensive end and linebacker Rob Ninkovich will join us on NFL Sunday Sports Radio, WEEI.
More of NFL Sunday right now on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, Keith and Fourier from the Best Yet broadcast booth right across the street from Gillette Stadium, getting you set for Patriots and Packers on Sunday Night Football. Let's bring in Rob Ninkovich now, who's brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Rob Ninkovich at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Rob, how are you?
What's up? I am doing well.
Good, good. Now, you played against Aaron Rodgers once in your career, is that right?
Yes, the other time I think he was injured.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you played Matt Flynn that year, I think.
How'd he do?
Matt Flynn.
How was it preparing for Matt Flynn?
Compare Flynn and Rodgers.
I think they beat us, but anyway, move on to the next question. You know, again, that guy's unreal. So when we played him in 14, it was in Lambeau, which is a really cool environment, and just playing in that place was such a neat experience. And, you know, going against a quarterback like that, it's a nice challenge. And, you know, he's one of the best in the league for a reason.
Was there any similarities the week of preparation for Aaron Rodgers in, say, Peyton Manning or Drew Brees? Was that kind of similar?
Yeah, it's a little different because it sucks going against a guy that's so mobile. And I know he's got the knee injury, but he's just so good in the pocket. And when I say good in the pocket, I mean just finding little spaces to move that just give him a little bit more time. And then he finds somebody and just throws a perfect ball. So I think his accuracy and arm strength are the hardest to go against. And, you know, Breeze definitely has, you know, the accuracy and definitely has all the intangibles, but he's not moving in the pocket as much. And they all have great pocket presence and awareness, but Rodgers is just like a different animal. And you can't rush him and just peel your ears back, pin him back, pin your ears back, get after him, because then he'll hurt you even more. So, you know, I think it's a different type of animal going against a guy that can throw it as well as he does.
Now, I mean, you think Tom Brady's accurate, right?
Yeah, but I think Rodgers is accurate and has the strength to throw it 80 yards. Both those guys have accuracy. I think the difference is, you know, you see Tom, he's not looking, I know he's got 3 yards to 1,000, but, you know, when Rodgers scrambles, he's looking to get the ball down the field. You know what I'm saying?
So you think, now if I'm hearing you right, that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady? I think we just heard it here first.
I say that. You're
I think you're a coward. I think that's what you're trying to say, like, but you want me to do it for you.
Look, I was a TB fan before, and then I played with him for 8 years, so I'm going with TB to the day I die. But Rodgers,
but hold on, but Rob, isn't it kind of weird? Because I feel like anyone who's played with him, right, on the team, okay, has a similar take on it. They're protective of him. Like Teddy Bruschi is protective of him. You ask me, like, I'd say the same thing. You, it's like there's this block that former players that have played on the same team with him have been in those battles, right? They kind of refuse to admit that someone may be better than him.
Well, I got some hardware in my presence because of the fact that I had him on my team. So I think forever I'll be in.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. So do you think that? I guess I ask myself the same question. Do you feel like you're able to critically evaluate the situation between the two?
Yeah, I mean, just you have to be able to be critical, but at the same time, I think we all have, that love for Tom because of the fact that he's done so much for myself and he's done so much for you and Teddy and all those other guys that have played with him. But, you know, at the same time, you know, Tom is 41 years old. So, you know, the one thing that is working against him is it's you're aging, and that's the hardest part is playing. And I know, and you know, when you play it and you're getting older, it's not easy. So, you know, Rodgers is what, 34, you know, so he's still got a long way to go.
How do you think Brady has looked this year, even just compared to, say, last year?
I think he looks good, and he can get rid of the ball quickly, but when you get pressure on him, he doesn't like it. And just like any other quarterback in the NFL, if you hit him early, you know, it kind of affects him a little bit. So, you know, I think that you see a game plan similar to, you know, look at the Jaguars game where they hit him early. Look at last week where they hit him early. Look at the week two? They hit him early, you know. So, you know, I think that any quarterback that has pressure on him, it's going to be challenging. And I think that Tom, as you get older, you have to realize, like, hey, these hits that I'm taking now, they might, you know, I might feel them later. So I need to make sure I don't get hit, get the ball out of my hand. That's why James White has as many receptions as he does.
So who do you think has made the biggest impact defensively? Name just as far as just, you know, yeah, just impactful guy on the defense up to now.
I'd have to say Kyle Vannoy. You know, I think him and Trey Flowers, those two guys are very valuable to the defense. But when you look at just overall the different positions that Kyle has to play, his versatility, you know, that goes a long way with helping the defense out. I think last year you kind of saw they had to move guys around off and on the field to make up those packages. And when you can have guys just stay on the field and just move different positions, that's when it helps you out even more. So I would say Kyle's probably one of the biggest pieces to keeping everybody, you know, in the right places where they need to be. And, you know, when you can have that on the field and that control, that's what helps a lot.
Yeah, so we had Teddy on, and he referenced Vannoy also, and he also used you as a reference because back when you played, like, you whenever there was a big game, it's always seemed like, okay, it was time for Nikovich to make a play, right? And either you did it, you get a sack or a fumble, whatever. But those critical moments, you were always coming up with a game-changing play. And Vannoy is kind of going into that role. I mean, you guys don't play exactly the same position, but he's still responsible for a lot of what this defense does. Like, do you kind of see him, see a little bit of yourself in him?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to make a lot more plays.
That's true.
he's got to get, like, almost 50 sacks, you know, and have 6 picks. And, you know, I'm just kidding. But, no, I mean, I think that he definitely has the intangibles and, you know, the opportunity to do so. You know, I think that his number one thing that he can do to help the team is playing inside linebacker, going to outside linebacker, going to left outside backer, going to right outside backer. When you have that ability with Dante on the field and you have Trey that goes from the left to the right to inside, you know, that's when it keeps offensive lines guessing and they don't know, okay, last time he dropped. Well, he dropped every time. Well, now he rushed, and guess what? It's a sack fumble. And that's, you see that last week. You know, Vannoy was in coverage most of the night, and then the one sack fumble he gets, the tackle is two steps behind him because he wasn't anticipating him coming off the edge. So that's when you have that element of surprise, and it helps. So I think the more that he can be on the field, and Hightower, hopefully he's back this week, you know, those guys on the field, that just helps move the guys around on the field with different matchups, change up the pace. You know, I love going against somebody else that hadn't seen me all game, because guess what? He didn't know I was going to double swipe him. Just and the other guy that I was going against swipe. Knew.
You pulled swipe. You did not pull the double swipe double on swipe. Him.
Yep.
You double swiped him?
Yep.
I double swipe everybody. I can go to a clinic.
Can you teach the double swipe to some of the guys on the defense so they can get more sacks?
I've tried. It's kind of like you have to have – that was my bread and butter, the double swipe. So as he started playing longer, guys were like, all right, well, I can't double punch this guy or he'll swipe me. So that you got to have an arsenal of moves. But that was my, like, okay, if it's on the line, double swipe, I got it. So I've passed along some of the knowledge, so hopefully they use it tonight.
We're talking with Rob Ninkovich here on NFL Sunday. Rob Gronkowski had kind of an interesting press conference this week. How do you think he's feeling going into week 9 now in the season?
You know, I'm sure that he's a little beat up. I think any time that you have missed a game due to some type of injury, then you have to deal with that throughout the rest of the season. And, you know, the football season's long and it's rough, and every week I have somebody ask me, hey, go play football again. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go through that pain. You know, it's a different type of mental struggle when you have to deal with pain. And anyone that's had to deal with it, you know, it can affect you. I mean, you see just normal people that have any type of injury, you know, when you have pain in your life, it's not fun. So when you're playing football, you just live with pain. So, you know, I think that over time, he's probably sick of it. He's probably just like, okay, I've had how many surgeries? I've had my knee, I've had my back, I've had my arm, I've had this, I've had that, you know. So hopefully he can get back and feel great. But, you know, once you start to get older, it takes you – previously it took you 2 days to feel good. Then as you hit your 30s, it takes 5 days to feel good, you know. So then you multiply that by 16 games and then training camp, and it just wears you out.
Do you think this could be it for him? Could this be his last season?
I'm not going to speak for him, but I could see the fact that, you know, last year he debated after the season was over, can I still do it at a high level? And we all go through that struggle when you hit a certain amount of years in the league and you've made as many plays and as many Super Bowl championships, and you know, financially you're okay. So I think that when you hit that point, you start to question, like, okay, if I go out there and I do get hurt, is it worth it? And, you know, I think last year maybe he questioned, like, I don't know if I want to go through the pain that I had to in the past. So then he made the choice, and he's going to play football. He's playing football right now. And, you know, I just think that it's hard to, you know, make a statement right now, like, no, I don't think he'll play, because there's a lot of other factors that go into that. So, you know, I just think that at a certain point in your career, you take it 1 year at a time. I know I did. After my 10th year, I was like, all right, I'm going to play 10. I'll play one more. And I played 11, and I was like, all right, you know, I don't want to go through that anymore. So we'll see what he decides after the season's over.
So a Green Bay defensively, give me your analysis of Clay Matthews, if you could.
I think that, you know, Clay is one of those guys that you always have to know where he's at on the field. He probably gains momentum as the game goes on. So, you know, when you watch him in the first quarter, you might not be as impressed. But when you see him in the fourth quarter, you know, he's playing just as hard. And I think that's the most impressive part, is when you see a guy that really never lets off the gas. You know, I think early in the season, it's unfortunate that he had those dumb penalties, because it's not his fault. You know, just making a simple tackle, a simple football play. I think a lot of attention was brought to him on that. But, you know, again, I think that his ability to play multiple positions, I think a few years ago he was an inside linebacker, and most guys that are outside pass rushers, if you moved them inside, they would be so angry. But, you know, he took it all in stride, and, you know, I think now he's at his natural position, which is on the edge. But he's also getting older, too. I mean, the guy's not going to play forever. I know he's got forever in his genes, but at the same time, you know, it's a different game now. Guys are bigger, stronger, and faster than they were 20 years ago.
Does he have a double swipe move? What's his favorite move?
he's a headbutter. So if you watch his moves, he'll bull rush and then bull the edge. So when you sit a guy down, and when I mean sit down, a bull rush makes an offensive lineman set and anchor his feet. And when you anchor your feet, that's when you pull slide, which is pull his outside shoulder and then slide your feet to the edge and then try and work an edge. So, you know, whoever he's going against tonight, you can't put all your weight forward on your toes because that's when you can get pulled out of your shoes.
Last one, Rob, before we let you go, how do you see this one shaking out tonight?
I think this is going to be one of those, you know, good old-fashioned offensive battles. And I think you're going to see Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers go out there slinging it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I got to take my home team. But, you know, I think that it will be a close game. I'm not anticipating a low-scoring game. So, you know, I'd say the Patriots win by a touchdown, but it'll be probably in the 30-point range each side.
All right. There you go. He's Rob Ninkovich. Thanks for the time tonight, Rob, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, good stuff there from Rob. I think most people are saying high-scoring game. What do you got? Saints-Rams
got
on here?
Yeah, Saints-Rams.
They just run it back for a score?
No. Oh, they do that thing where they all run. It's actually kind of cool. It's like they literally they run like 50 yards to go take a photo in the end zone. Yeah, Ben
But at least they're winning. At least they're winning to do the who was it that did the picture against the Patriots? And they were getting – it was the Chiefs? Yeah, they were – no, somebody else too, wasn't it?
That was a great interception right there by that linebacker.
That was
too.
A good interception. Jeez. Saints are up, 28-14 on the Rams right now.
Yep.
We can come back. We can go around the NFL. We got Tommy Kerns going to join us at 7:05. We're going up until 8 o'clock as we get you set for Sunday Night Football, Patriots and Packers from here at Gillette. It's Keefe and Fourier, NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
More on NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, we on?
NFL Sunday, Sports Radio WEEI, Keefe and Fourier. Mutt's got the night off as we get you set for Patriots and Packers, Sunday Night Football, the 6-2 Patriots, the 3-3-1 Packers.
Well, isn't that a shame?
3-3-1.
You're in the NFL and ties exist.
Tie.
This should never, ever
would
happen.
Would you go college overtime? What would you do?
Well, I mean, I would figure something out. I mean,
well, okay. What is it then?
The thing with college is that it could literally last
forever. Yeah, but going for two, like it doesn't though. Like I know they. Say
I would
it
maybe
does.
Take it because after I'm not sure how many times. Like, so you can cycle through that overtime situation in college a couple times before they force you to go for two.
Yeah, I think it's the third time maybe.
Yeah, so I would say you get one try.
Yeah,
and then the second round, then you have to go for two.
They can even modify it too, and you could start from the 30 or the 35 instead of the 25. I mean, the 25, you're just asking for a zillion
points.
Yeah,
I don't know what I don't know why the whole like why is that a problem? Is there like some sort of like television window that they have to hit? So God forbid there's an overtime game.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is.
Why would you not? Because if you go in overtime, wouldn't it be easier?
Two ties.
Okay, just anybody get the ball to 20 each. Go ahead, go. If you don't get it, and I'd say, you know what, you can't kick a field goal. No, actually, you know what? That wouldn't work too because, you know.
No, because there's a strategy to it. Just let them kick the field goal.
Don't put me on the committee.
You're not on the committee. God, no.
I got another idea.
Yeah, they're like, we're good. You already solved it. I'd say just go college overtime and move on from there. But I guess, so we see the record, and, you know, maybe we've seen, you know, when they're in primetime or you've seen some of the highlights or whatever, but are the Packers good? Like, how likely would this be a Super Bowl matchup?
See, I
feel like very unlikely.
I went back and I just rewatched, which I thought was their best game.
Okay.
Which was the Rams on the road. First of all, they're 0-3 on the road. Like, they're terrible on the road.
That's true.
And at least.
And Rodgers is bad against good teams on the road. Like, that was a stat I saw.
Is that you quoted it? Rodgers is bad against good teams?
Yeah, no, somebody had the stat. Actually, Glenn, I think, retweeted it. It was somebody did a good job doing all the research. Teams that had a winning record the year before, when he goes on the road that next year, he has like a. Not only is it a losing record, it's like a horrible record.
Wow. Okay. Well,
but anyway.
No, so, I looked at them. That was probably their best game that they've played.
They should have won. I mean,
they should have. Yeah. Think about it. So they were a Ty Montgomery. Well, listen, they could have. Could they have tied it if they got the ball back? Could they have won? I can't remember how far down they were, mm-hmm. how far behind they were. But anyways, Ty Montgomery fumbles the ball. They don't get the ball back, and that ends it. But defensively, they did an excellent job. So Ibra goes, ah, they were blitzing. Well, they weren't doing these crazy blitzes. What they were doing is disguising which guys were going and led to a bunch of sacks. They didn't get a pick, but they still did an excellent job of slowing down Jared Goff. Well, in the second half, the Rams go nuts.
Then they went crazy.
Gurley goes crazy. And I kind of assumed that would happen. I just didn't think they could sustain it for four quarters. For whatever they were doing in the first half,
right?
They eventually the Rams are going to figure it out, and they're going to end up winning. But even with that said, if Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back, you know, with basically 2 minutes left in the game, would they have been able to win it?
Yeah, I mean, you look at their record and their wins. Week one against the Bears, they also beat the Bills and the Niners, and they beat the Niners by 3. That was that game that was it. C.J. Beathard he scored 30 points against them. Like he looked pretty good. Their losses came to the Redskins, the Lions, and the Rams. So as you said, they had the lead, then they lost it, and then they tied Minnesota back in Week 2. So yeah, overall, that's not very good.
No,
and they're in third place right now in their division. So yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
So why be worried about?
We're so excited about it because of Rodgers.
Yeah,
but they're not that good.
It's almost like the Rodgers story has really kind of taken away.
Yeah, it has.
Any sort of analysis of the actual team,
right?
Because they're not very good.
No, they're not. And then, I mean, from the outside, you looked at it, you said, well, HaHa Clinton Dix was a starter for him. And Ty Montgomery, I know he wasn't great, but he was the guy that they would use. I know he had the bad fumble, but they trade both of those guys away at the deadline.
See, and that's a weird – so think about that. So you lose to you lose on the road to the Rams.
Yep.
You end up – so a trade deadline comes around. You end up trading one of your best defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
You get rid of Montgomery, which looks like a real petty move by them.
Yeah.
You know, he screwed up, and you guys are cutting him. What is that supposed to mean? So
weird.
Are you better?
I don't know.
5 days later? Whatever? Are you better?
It's weird. And then, so Jimmy Graham, is he still good? Like, I know his numbers are okay. He only has one touchdown. I think he's their second. But behind Davante Adams, he seems to be the next guy in line there. But he was great with the Saints back in the day with Breeze.
Yeah.
He put up crazy numbers. Seattle, it didn't really seem to work out.
He got hurt. He had a really bad injury.
Yeah. He was very disappointing year one. I think last year he ended up scoring a bunch of touchdowns. And so this is his first year with the Packers. But, I mean, he could be a guy that does something. But they seem to be kind of limited. And then their defense is nothing special.
No, and when I saw them, so obviously you're watching them last week and you're starting to think, okay, these guys are coming in. Let's pay attention to him, right? Because that Sunday we were in L.A.
Yep.
Watching before we were doing like the pregame show for the Red Sox, and they looked phenomenal defensively on that offense. What had all that skill position? You're like, wow, can they do that against the Patriots? Would they attempt that? Okay, that's a bad idea. He'll figure it out. Like Goff didn't figure it out. He still didn't throw a pick, but they sacked him like 5 times. But again, the if you don't have like a couple really really good pass rushers that can double swipe,
he got a double swipe.
Then you have to just be patient and play zone,
right?
Because or you better time out your blitzes at the perfect time, or he'll figure it out. Because I love it when I don't even remember what game. All the games are morphing into each other.
Yeah,
Brady threw a pick, and he was talking about how they threw something at him that he wasn't ready for. Right, like they got him on that one. Like he didn't think the guy was in coverage. He threw it anyways.
Right,
anticipated it, threw it. The guy goes right into the zone, interception. Like you're not getting him twice on that. And then they didn't. He ends up figuring it out. So whatever blitz you have, you better hold on to it till you really really need it. Otherwise, you better be able to go up and down the field with him.
Our crack staff has given us some Aaron Rodgers numbers. He is 38-40 on the road. That's for his career. 19-18 in November, so if you want to include that, as we're in November. 7-8 on Monday night, although tonight's Sunday night, Doug. So. but I mean.
It's a night game.
It's a big game.
No, it is. That's right. It's a prime time. It's a big time game. You're not wrong about that. And I'm going to, 12-13 in a dome? They're playing outside.
I know.
Why would you write that down? This is like Keith's Keys, but worse. Much
worse.
You know,
just not to have my own little squirrel moment right now, but I just noticed your keys.
What about them? Oh, you want me to?
No, I don't want you to jingle them.
Squirrel!
You have.
They are 12-13 inside of a dome.
you You have like
I have a ton
old,
of keys.
You have like old man grandma keys.
Well, I can't throw any away. I don't know what they go to.
I mean, you have a bottle opener.
Yep.
You have all your like grocery store little discount
all
cards on there.
You gotta have.
You
these.
Have like a Lucky Charm on there.
Yeah, those are shamrocks.
Let me see these things.
Little shamrock.
What are you doing? These are so heavy.
Yeah, they are. Like, it's bad for my back.
You're not a janitor. You know that, right?
I feel like the segment wouldn't be as good if I only had one.
Hey, can you
on
put
there.
This on your hip and have one of those little like?
I know I need to get one of those.
Like, oh, hold
the
on,
extender.
Here you go. All
there
right,
go.
Here
this
you
is
go.
The right one.
Yeah, it's a problem. Your keys are really heavy.
It's a problem. I had the bottle opener. I don't even need the bottle opener. I do. I'm the guy that does it with the ring. I don't need it.
Can you see? I do it with my inner thigh.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You open a bottle with the inside of your thigh?
Yeah, yes,
I feel
do.
Like that has to be painful.
No, it's surprisingly not.
How inside
it's a cool
of your
little
thigh
party
are we
trick.
Talking
it's
about?
A cool little party trick.
I feel like I don't
want
to drink it after it's been around.
No,
like,
oh, it's not thanks. In my. It's not.
You're just going to put it down. Thanks, man.
Yeah,
I'll go to the fridge.
Out of the cooler. whip my foot out. Here you go.
Wait, you do it with.
Right here.
Oh, so like the.
I just go in and it just.
It twists.
I've been doing it. Yeah, I've been doing it since high school. Yeah. It doesn't hurt.
Does it have to be right on the skin, or can you do it on like on pants?
No, it's got to be on my skin.
Oh, that is really bizarre.
It's just random Fourier information right there. So next time we're at a summer party, okay, I'll hook you up.
I have the one friend that does it with his teeth, and I'm like, that is awful. Like he puts the bottle in his mouth. And go,
yeah, see, like, that
ugh.
To me, like,
that's that, first of all, now that's been in your mouth, I'm like, I don't want
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's like, do you really want to jack your teeth up, though?
He's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, it doesn't look fine. It
no, why don't you just
fine.
Slam it on top of your head and, like,
same guy does that. Yeah,
same dude. We all have one of those guys.
Aaron Rodgers is 3-17 in his last 20 games and 11-28 overall on the road versus teams that finished with a winning record in the regular season. So I guess that's that season. So good teams, basically. Yeah. He is terrible on the road. In that same stat, Tom Brady is 28-22. And then they did a good job. They have all the results here dating back their entire career. Yeah, that's got to be a key, right? Throw that on the list for sure.
There's a lot going on. So I think about it. It's like, all right, so he's just a front runner?
Rodgers?
Yeah.
Man, maybe.
I mean, that's what that stat tells me.
Maybe.
You're getting more notes here. Go ahead.
Dog, what are these?
Them?
Less
greater
than 2 minutes to go. What is that? 53.9%? What? He wins? What is that? Completion percentage
keys,
with under 2 minutes. Under 4 minutes to go, his completion percentage is 56.1, and with under 2 minutes, it's 53.9%. That's Aaron Rodgers we're talking about.
Keys.
Too many. There's too many numbers.
That's
right
a
there.
Lot of numbers.
You know what?
They're gonna play this out on the field.
The fact
here
is he's a front runner. That's basically
you think
what
he's
I'm hearing.
A front runner.
Well, really, think about his whole career. He's been pushed to the front. People anointing.
No, he
him.
Wasn't pushed to the
no,
front.
No,
he sat on the bench.
No,
for
no.
Three
forget
years.
About that.
Four
my
years.
Point. Is,
okay.
No, not that.
Oh,
the fact
he
is,
fell
like,
in the draft. By the way.
Okay.
Poor little. I felt so bad. I remember watching the draft. He was just sitting there moping in the green room. Alex Smith's the number one pick, and then here's Aaron Rodgers. Wait, he is. He is making a lot of money now too. And Aaron Rodgers just sitting there. Somebody take him.
As far as being pushed to the front, I feel like
he's been
anointed.
Have been
wanted
like,
to,
one of the,
to
the
anoint
best
him,
he's the best guy,
right? Anoint him over and over again. Yet he hasn't done anything to be anointed yet.
Well, he won a Super Bowl.
No, I know. Listen,
he's won the MVP twice.
Okay,
isn't he always one of the best players?
So
in the
heavy,
league
but
year?
What's the difference between like him and Drew Brees? It's like no one pushes Drew Brees up there like let's anoint
MVPs.
Him, let's anoint him.
That's a difference.
Doesn't have one?
Well, he definitely doesn't have
he's
two.
Got like every he's got every single record almost.
Does Drew Brees have an MVP? I'm going to say no. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to say no. Aaron Rodgers has two. Yeah, Brees has all the records.
Matt Ryan has one.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, Cam Newton has one.
No, I understand
so
that.
Really,
so Drew Brees, you got to get more than one. And then that's the same for Super Bowls. For those guys that are that good, don't they need to – you need to win more than one.
So to me, this is like – so if you – can't win the games when they matter most against the best teams, then really, how good are you?
What are we doing here?
How good are
if
you?
If Aaron Rodgers ends his career with just one Super Bowl, won't it be a disappointment?
I think it's yes.
Yeah.
But no one will say it. It's like they won't do it. It's like, well, no, he's the greatest athlete of all time.
Yeah, they won't criticize.
Tell stories about Aaron Rodgers.
He doesn't get criticized, does he?
Never.
Yeah, it's weird.
Wait, honestly,
is it because of McCarthy? Like, is it like, oh, the expectation?
You know, because they know it's not his fault.
Yeah, they look around the rest of the team.
They go, you know what? It's not you, it's me.
Maybe. I mean, they've never had like a really good defense. Like Clay Matthews.
Like Rod Williams, Matt Damon. It's not your fault.
They don't do it to me, man.
It's not your fault. You got a great arm, man.
Don't do it.
Yeah, hey, you're talented.
Not you.
No, dude, look at me in the eye.
And then like a long
like
embrace.
Pelvis to pelvis.
Kind of fights it. Oh yeah. Yes. He does not want to be hugged. Just like, get away from me. He's like, no, I'm hugging you. He's
like,
hold on to this.
Like wrestling.
Hold on to this.
Falls to the
like
ground.
This. Yeah, no. Drew Brees has never won the MVP. Ever. He's been in the league for 2 decades.
That to me is just timing. With all those records that he's broken, with all the great years that he's had,
but
he's
also
not an MVP.
He's also missed the playoffs a bunch. Whereas if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, it's similar to Tom Brady. If he's healthy, they're going to the playoffs.
I can sit there and we can sit there and look at all of Drew Brees' defensive coordinators and how bad they were.
Oh,
and
the Rob Ryan era was
the worst defense in the history of the NFL.
That's true.
Listen, there's a lot I can do if I'm Drew Brees. Listen, I can get us out of a lot of jams.
What about Drew Brees outside, though? You can't get out of a jam there.
Doug,
pull up those numbers.
You're going to pull up the numbers? Crack staff.
Give us the Drew Brees numbers.
What kind of rinky-dink operation we have here?
At least we have the Aaron Rodgers dome numbers.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad we have those to
Doug's
break the game down.
Doug's giving you, like math equations.
Because they're going to close the roof tonight here at Gillette is what we've heard. So he's got a losing record inside of domes. But, yeah, overall, it's a great matchup.
He's a front runner.
So you think Peyton Manning's better than Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Because I'm not sure.
He is.
I think Aaron Rodgers
I think
is
he most definitely is.
Peyton Manning got to the playoffs and lost in the first round way too many times. And if there was a two-minute drill, say your team is going up – say your team has a five-point lead and you're going and the other team has the ball with 2 minutes to go – there's no real stat. I don't know if there is a stat.
I think
Aaron Rodgers
literally forget about Peyton Manning.
They don't forget about him.
Yeah, they do.
Everybody talks about him nonstop.
I just saw.
I think Aaron Rodgers would have a better chance. I'd be more scared of Aaron Rodgers than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, I'm just waiting for the pick. Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm not me. I mean, right. I know for every time that he's done it, I guess, Doug, can you get those numbers for us real quick? Because I really want to be able to make a point. I would like something to back it up.
I need some number. I don't care what it is. Write
just
it down.
I'll say it so it actually makes it relevant.
Whatever
okay?
it is.
I guess I would like to see, okay, like in those situations, right, because we're at the point now where analytics play such a role. Okay. If you were to take Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers in situations that were similar, like got to have it drives.
I mean, Peyton had a ton of fourth quarter comebacks. He does. Now,
I did, my thing is, like, I just saw it, and I remember so many times seeing it and going, this guy's freaking insane. Now, okay, but you're right, though. Every now and then, especially against the Patriots in the championship games.
Or like Ty Law got him so many times. Or you go to like the Super Bowl against the Saints, you know, that one where he's throwing a pick. There were a big spot against the Ravens in the playoff. Like, even when he was good in Denver, he had the one year.
I would even
where
say that interception against the Ravens that he threw was not even his fault. The guy stopped freaking running.
It's a pick. Goes down as a pick.
See, again, eventually my rule will come into play. Like quarterbacks should not be charged with an interception if the guy drops it or runs the wrong route. So
Did you see? Come on!
Did you see all these guys
up there? Like, all right, he didn't run the curl.
Okay. Well, you would have to have help from the team. So
Matt Ryan, that's on the receiver. That's not.
So Matt Ryan threw a pick earlier in his game.
Yes.
And I saw him. He was so pissed
because the guy ran the wrong.
The guy ran the wrong, and it's obvious he was going like this with his hand. Hey, you're supposed to go in.
Supposed to bend it.
So if you're up there,
yeah.
Write that down. Ran the wrong route. Why is it that? Why is
put
it his fault?
Put it on the receiver.
So the team should actually release all the stats and information. The team should be responsible for telling us who screwed up and who didn't.
That's what's next.
Somebody's got to take the blame.
That's what we need to do. Let's go to Matt in Wilmington. He joins us next. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, so isn't this argument really that Aaron Rodgers is not better than Tom Brady, but Aaron Rodgers is more talented than Tom Brady? He has more tools.
Well, that was sort of, yeah, because you can't – nobody's better than Brady, and certainly around here, but even, you know, nationally, you got to sort of twist yourself into a pretzel to come up with somebody else. So that conversation's dead, so you're trying to figure out other things. So, yeah, that was one of the topics that came up this week.
Right, so while I was on hold, you guys started talking about it. So isn't the point, like, from the classic line from a Bronx Tale, Lorenzo Anello, the saddest thing in life is wasted talent? So if Aaron Rodgers is more talented, he doesn't play in that much better of a division, the Minnesota Vikings have been vastly overrated for most of their tenure while he's been playing, and he's got more talent. He's never had a terrible, like a real terrible defense, decent enough to win, and he's done far less than Tom Brady. in that time. So isn't he just an underwhelming waste of talent if this is the peak of his career, that he's got one Super Bowl appearance? Is he not ever not better? He's just the guy with more talent and wasted it?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I don't know if he's wasted his talent, but at the same time, one Super Bowl is very underwhelming for him. Like, that's not enough. He needs to be there more.
I think it's, so, to me, it's more of an indication of how unbelievably hard it is to win one. Like, it's like, so what Brady has done is it's ridiculous. And to win one, most of the time, like, guys would be like, wow, okay, I got one. And they spend the rest of their career chasing the other one. And it usually never happens. You'll get close or go to a playoff game or championship game, and the other team will just make one more play than you, and it just screws up your entire reputation or the way your legacy is going to be written. So I just feel like when you know, if you're going to sit there and you really use try to compare Brady and Rodgers, then you have to be fair about it. You can't. So if Brady is responsible for winning Super Bowls without great offensive talent, not currently, but in the past, you can sit there and look at some of his wide receivers or some of the weapons that he has had, and you can sit there and go, wow, none of them made the Pro Bowl, and none of them were Hall of Famers, and yet he was still able to win.
No, I mean, again, it's everybody looks pretty bad when you compare him to Brady. Like, that's just how it is, right?
Yeah. But I don't think it's fair to even Aaron Rodgers to compare him to Brady. You want to do a comparison with other quarterbacks, like,
that's
1A,
why I think,
B quarterbacks.
That's why I think even in obviously it's not as popular on Boston radio, but I thought it was interesting when you got down the road of Rodgers versus Breeze, Rodgers versus Manning, like all these secondary guys that Brady's kind of looking down on that played within the last 15 years. I think those are more interesting. And talking about, who has stood in the way of Aaron Rodgers making it to the Super Bowl all these years. Well, 2009, they lost to Arizona in the playoffs, 51-45. So he threw for 423 yards and four touchdowns. They lost. I assume that was the Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald Arizona team. They won it in 10. 11, they lost to Eli Manning and the Giants, who won the whole thing. In 12, they lost to San Francisco. So it was Kaepernick, right? Actually, maybe Smith 1 year and then Kaepernick, because he lost back-to-back years to San Francisco. Lost to Russell Wilson in Seattle. Lost to Arizona back in 2015. I think that was a Carson Palmer Arizona team. And then last year, or was it 2 years ago, lost to Matt Ryan in the Falcons.
Yeah, that's when he went to Dallas. So they beat Dallas, right?
They beat the Giants at home. Then they beat Dallas on the road. Then they lost to Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's, I mean, those are the
teams. And he was doing that 2 years ago. He was doing that on like a shoestring budget as far as talent.
Yeah, you're not losing to like these wagons either. Yeah. Like in the NFC. All right, get back to your phone calls here, 617-779-7937. The other thing, there was a little nugget about Josh McDaniels potentially being interested in head coaching positions. So we'll get to that. Plus, about an hour from now, we have Tom E. Kern. We have inactives about 20 minutes from now as we get you set for Patriots and Packers tonight. This is NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.